Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Today on Truth Infusion Radio, we are excited to introduce a great friend to our ministry, pastor and evangelist Steve Parrish. We invite you to join with Brother Parrish as he preaches a sermon today entitled, If the Dead Could Speak.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
I'm always amazed at how God will plant a message in me, what He'll start it with. A couple of years ago, I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was in a vehicle with three or four preachers, and we was driving through Chattanooga, and we were just kindly sharing some things on our heart, and the thought, the title of When Jesus Comes to Rapture the Church, that thought came up. When we started talking about it, everybody has got an idea where they want to be when Jesus comes back. Amen. And I think one of the preachers said, man, I hope when He comes back, it's a Sunday morning, I'm in my pulpit preaching. And man, just I'm telling you, I'm just giving them what God gives me. And all of a sudden, in a moment, we hear that shout and we're gone. Another one said, well, I just always felt like I want to be with my family. Maybe around the dinner table, just be there with all my family. And then all of a sudden, we're gone. Another one said, well, man, I spend quiet time with the Lord. Got my quiet place. And I'd love to be in that place. And old brother Jeff Taylor, you know him, old brother Jeff Taylor said, not me, boys, not me. And I said, where you want to be, brother Jeff? And he said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. If you're there, say amen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Brother Jeff said, man, I'm praying when the rapture happens, I'm doing a graveside service in a cemetery. Amen. He said, I want to be at a graveside service in a cemetery. He said, I want to be reading the 23rd Psalm. He said, I want to see them graves bust open. I want to hear them that's been dead, them that arise out of that grave. He said, them dead in Christ is going to rise first. He said, I want to go on the shout of that and it's been raised. Amen. Man, when he said that, it got to running in me and around me. I thought, boy, it'd take a redneck to come up with that. Amen. And I went on and read verse number 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And boy, the way that God speaks to me in such plain ways, And I thought about, boy, that day, then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. You know, the dead are going to speak that day. The dead are going to have something to say that day. They're going to be the ones that we launch off after. They're going to come out of the grave. Can you imagine what this country's going to look like with these tombs, these graveyards that are blowed wide open, man? I mean, open graves everywhere and all that'll come along with that. But then I found it interesting where the writer Paul, he penned this. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, for that thought to comfort you, that must mean you know you're going to be in that bunch. Amen. For that thought to comfort you, then that must mean you know that's the crew I'm going to be with. Amen. When them graves bust open and they go, I'm going to be on the second boarding. Amen. I'll be on boarding site number 2. And when they go up, I'm going to go up with them. And we can comfort one another with these words when the dead speak. But then, well, how the Lord really spoke to my heart. Well, what if you're not in that group? What if tonight... What if this doesn't comfort you? This really causes you some concern. I remember as a lost man, I was a lost man who married a saved woman. That'll put a lot of pressure on a lost man. It'll put a lot of pressure on a saved woman to marry a lost man. And you ought not ever do that, but most saved women will have a lost man lie to them and tell them that they are saved, but you ain't got to live with them long. You realize you done been sold a bad bill of goods. Amen. And I can remember my wife, Twyla, got saved when she was 12 years old, and she's lived for the Lord all her life. And I can remember how when she should have run me off, she prayed for me. And when she should have hit me in the head with a skillet, she really prayed for me. And I can remember the nights I'd come in late, and I'd come in, I'd crawl into bed. And I can remember laying there, Brother Tracy, and I can remember thinking, boy, she's going to be mad, and she can smell this alcohol, and she's going to be tore up. And I can remember laying there saying, God, if you don't save him, he's going to die and go to hell. God, if you don't do something, Lord, he's going to be in hell, and I'm going to be in heaven. And oh, big old tough guys, act like that don't bother you, but that'll run you crazy. Amen. That'll run you crazy if you're the one that's going to hell. And so I knew enough about the Bible. I knew enough that there was going to be a rapture. I knew that the saved were going to go up and the lost were going to remain here. And I knew about all that. And so I can remember times I'd be so under conviction, and I'd have such fear in my heart that the Holy Ghost would wake me up in the night. And I can remember reaching over in the bed, Brother Jared, to make sure she was still there. And that may sound foreign to some of you tonight, but some of you that maybe are where I was right then in those days, you know what I'm talking about. This is real to you. I could go to a service and a preacher talk about the rapture, and other folks would shout, and I'd sit there and think, boy, I hope not today. I hope it's not today. I hope it's not today. I hope I've got some more time. You know, no man knows the hour, but I tell you this, he is coming. He is coming. Before I get the next word said, the graves could be busted open, the shout could come, and honey, we could be out of here, amen, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Comfort one another with these words. That sounds pretty good to me, amen. But I can remember when I was a lost church member, Brother Shannon. I can remember thinking, boy, I hope the Lord waits a while before he comes. And they may be somebody here tonight. When I say he could come tonight, you may think, man, I hope not. I sure was wanting to go fishing tomorrow. Or man, I hope not. I tell you, we playing for the state championship this week. I hope he waits till after then. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're so attached to this world, you don't want him to come back. I'm telling you, the longer I stay here, the less this place has got for me. Matter of fact, it's where he's got me, and I'm wanting to see one more get in before we get out. Honey, that's what it's all about. Amen. Comfort one another with these words. He's coming back. Well, what about those that these words don't comfort? What about the dead that will rise in Christ first? What about these that speak that they're going to rise first? What if that don't comfort you? Well, God's got some other dead folks that speak that ought to convict you tonight. Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight along the thought of this: if the dead could speak. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, we saw some dead that will speak, that will comfort us with their leaving out. But then in Luke chapter 16, we find a dead man who speaks, and what he'll have to say. Those that are in Christ, there's comfort in death, but those who are outside of Christ, there ought to be a great conviction in death. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. We're going to meet two men tonight. If you're there, say amen. Amen. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The thought tonight, if the dead could speak. We've met two men in these verses I've read. Verse number 19 said, there was a certain rich man. Brother Steve, do you believe this is a parable? In other words, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I believe the way this is worded, this is not a parable. I believe it's the actual account of what took place in the lives of two men. You see, the one preaching this message is the one who's able to see past the grave. Amen. The one who's giving this message is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who can see the unseen. Amen. So he's the one who can speak of what happened to these two men. We meet this rich man who the Word of God says he fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he enjoyed life. He had the best life had to offer. He knew what it was to have fine things. He knew what it was to have wealthy finances. He knew what it was to have a blessed family. And he knew what it was to be surrounded by friends. If all we had was verse 19 and verse 20, no doubt you may say, I would love to be the rich man. He had all of these things going for him. We live in a day where the devil has us so deceived that we think the more we can get, the happier we will be. And so you may think, I'd love to be the rich man. He enjoyed life. But then the Lord Jesus gives us another man. He gives us in verse number 20 a beggar named Lazarus. Now if the rich man enjoyed life, no doubt Lazarus, we see in him how life was a struggle for him. He knew nothing of the things the rich man knew of. He had no fine things. He had no finances. He had no family. He had no friends. He was a complete opposite of the rich man. Look at them. They had nothing in common other than the fact that they were both alive at the same time, or they shared the same days together. I'm always amazed at the day that God has raised up us up to live in. Church, I believe with all my heart, I'm preaching to those tonight who will see the rapture of the church. The next event to happen scripturally will be the rapture of the church. Everything is hinging on the church leaving here. America's not standing tonight because of our flag, as great as she is. America's not standing tonight because of our democracy. America is standing tonight because it's here where you find the remnant, here where you find the church. America stands tonight because God is still blessing a little old bunches like under the tabernacle here in New Boston, Texas tonight. Honey, they want it. Well, I'm telling you what, they fixing to have it because we fixing to be out of here. Amen. I'm talking about heaven bound with a hammer down, glory to God. But to Lazarus, he didn't have anything like the rich man had other than the days that they shared. Boy, it's good to share these days with you here tonight. Well, for those of you that I've met in years past, and for those of you that I've met this week, I thank God he raised us up for these days together, and we're able to share these days, and what a blessing you are to me. But when it came to the rich man and Lazarus, all they had in common was the days that they shared, but there came a day when they had something in common. What's that, Brother Steve? Verse 22 says there came a day that both men died. Both men experienced death. Death showed up at their door. The common denominator in their life was this thing of death. As Hebrews 9 tells us, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, you will meet your appointment with death if Jesus tarries. Now, I'd just soon be a rapture man myself, amen. I'd just soon to fly out of here, amen. But if you get right down to it, death for the Christian is just another form of rapture. How do you know that, preacher? My Bible tells me so. Both men died. They had that in common. But that was all because with death, they go in different directions and they arrive at different destinations. Verse number 22 said that Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Woo! What are you saying, Brother Steve? I'm saying the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't ever been bit by the shadow of a dog. And thank God I'll never feel the sting of death. Why? Because of what my Lord and my Savior did at Calvary. He took the sting out of death. He took the victory out of the grave. Thank God tonight, ever born again, blood washed child of God, your address is in heaven. Where you are is in heaven. Honey, when you close your eyes here, you'll open your eyes there. A heavenly escort. Carried. Now it says Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels to paradise or to Abraham's bosom. But now the rich man died and it said that he was buried. So one man was carried and one man was buried. Who you want to be now? Now when you first met him, it seemed like the rich man had it going on, amen. But I'm going to tell you what this life is. It is temporary. It is fleeting. It's like a vapor. You're here and then you're gone. But this ain't all there is to it. There is a place waiting for all of us. What do we find from the rich man when he arrives at his destination? If the dead could speak, well, before he's able to speak, before words are able to come out, he has to process some things. We're living a day that some folks believe when you die, that's all there is to it. You just worm bait. You just go in the ground, and that's all there is. And there's not anything else to it. But I'm telling you, based on what the Word of God tells us right here, there are two destinations. There's a place of rest. There's a place of refuge. There's a place of peace. But then it said, for the rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes. And in hell, as he lift up his eyes, the rich man gets ready to speak. And before the conversation, I see some things going on in him, some things that he carried with him. You say, Brother Steve, you can't take nothing with you. Oh, I beg to differ. You will take some things with you. I see this rich man, he has some request. He begins to ask for mercy. He begins to ask for Lazarus to come and be a blessing to him. He begins to ask for some water to cool a tormenting tongue. I see he not only has some requests, but he's able to reason out to where he is. He's able to try to think on some things. And he recognizes Lazarus, and he recognizes Abraham, and he realizes the pain and the torment and the agony he's in. But then he also remembers his family, and his memories alive and well. And he gets to thinking about how good maybe he had it and how bad he's got it now. And boy, he's wanting things to get better for where he is. And he's crying out to Abraham, Lord, let's send Lazarus that he might help me, that he might show some mercy to me. He might be a blessing to me. In verse 25, Abraham reminds him of how good he had it in his lifetime here. Remember, you had to find things, the finances, the family, the friends. But I wonder, what's all that doing for him now? Here in this place of hell. You know, he remembers those five brothers. He knew those five brothers were just as lost as he was. He knew that if something didn't happen to bring salvation to those brothers, they were headed to the same hell that he was. That cycle of sin that maybe had run through his family generation after generation, it was still going. And he makes this request. He said, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Thought about what an unusual request. You see, hell doesn't rehabilitate you. Hell doesn't fix your way of thinking. What an unusual request. He's asking Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers to tell them that they don't need to come to this place. And I thought about if Abraham could have sent somebody to his brothers, he wouldn't have sent them somebody from heaven. He'd have sent them somebody from hell. That's who he would have sent to the brothers to tell them just what was waiting for them in hell. If the dead could speak, Brother Steve, what would they say to us here on this side of death tonight? If the dead could speak, if one could be sent from hell tonight to stand under this tabernacle and to stand where you are in that pulpit, what would the dead say tonight if they could come back from this place called hell? Just three things, and I'll be through tonight. Let me say, I believe if the dead could speak tonight, they would say, hell is no joke. Hell is a real place that holds real people. As sure as there's a place called heaven, there is a place called hell. For every one time Jesus spoke of heaven, 13 times he spoke of hell. What a most sobering thought tonight. Every person who's ever lived, every person who's living right now, every person who will live till Jesus comes will live eternally in one of two places, either heaven or hell. Now we live in a day that's made a joke of hell. We live in a day that's glamorized hell. That's glamorized who it was made for. Hell wasn't made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. So if you go there, you're actually going to a place it was never meant for you to go. It wasn't designed for you. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But I thought about how gullible man is, that somewhere pulpits used to preach on hell and people would tremble from it. But now it's not hardly ever even mentioned because people think so little of it. We've got the Joy Behars and the crowd of Hollywood that make light of everything. And they say, I'd be a little scared of a fellow that said Jesus spoke to him. Well, honey, you better fear me, because I spoke to him this morning. He spoke to me. I spoke to him today. He spoke to me. Oh, he's got his hand on me right now. I got them glory bumps running up the back of my neck so big wouldn't fit on a hog's back. Amen. What are you saying? Thank God for the God who speaks tonight. And how he sent a word tonight. How those in hell tonight, if they could come to this place, they would cry out, hell is no joke. You better not glamorize it. You better not have what Hollywood's got to say about it. I can't believe what we'll subject our children to and how we'll go to see what Hollywood puts out, and we'll dabble in these things that are so satanic. And Brother Steve, you don't like to watch that old scary stuff. You better stay away from it. You better not give the devil any place. I'm telling you, hell is no joke. It's nothing for you to walk around and make light of. There's a real hell tonight. It's enlarging itself every day. Those who die without Christ are in hell tonight, and hell is no joke. Jesus spoke of it. John chapter number 5, verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Don't sound like he's laughing at it. What's it say in Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 29. "Thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Chapter 10 and verse number 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Chapter 25, verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." With all these warnings, with all these pleas that the Lord Jesus made, we still make light of hell. We laugh at hell. We think it's not a place to be taken seriously. But honey, hear me tonight. If the dead could speak, they would tell you this place ain't no joke. Hell ain't no joke. As sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. It's real. You better not gamble with it. If you've got an uneasiness about it, you better make sure tonight you're not headed for this place called hell. Preacher, I don't like that old preaching. You just trying to scare me. You trying to scare me out of hell. I say amen. You better know I am to keep a child out of the street. I say, hey, boy, get out of that street. And if it'll keep that child out of the street, I promise you he ain't mad when a car don't run over him. And if I can scare you out of hell tonight, you won't be mad at me 1 second after you get to heaven, amen.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.